Okay, so we're still doing our inquirers / new member class. And we've been going through, we started with, I want to say the main teaching or emphasis of our church, because it's the emphasis of the Bible, that God is sovereign in everything. Everything. And if you think about this practically in your own life, you'll realize that it's true. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose where you would be born versus some other country. God chose it for you. And we've gone through TULIP. An easy way to remember those five responses that came from the followers of Arminius. And we've gone through already total depravity, sometimes said hereditary depravity, and inability, very specific, unconditional election. God looks and chooses based on His good pleasure. He foreknew them, not what they would do, but He foreknew them, meaning He loved them even before. Limited atonement or particular redemption. This is very important to me. This point is, all these are very important, but Jesus died for His sheep. He knew each one. You, He knew, even 2,000 years ago. All of them combined, He knows each one by name. The others, no, they're not His sheep. He never intended to pay for their sins. He's paying for the sins of His people. That's why we say particular redemption. He went and paid the price, and it's like He gave a list. These are all the people that I'm paying for right now. Well, what about this guy? Is he on the list? Then no. And that might seem overly simplistic, but the way it's put forward in the Scriptures is Jesus knows His sheep. He calls them by name. And they hear and they listen. And that brings us to today's, the I in TULIP, irresistible grace. And remember, all these were given as a response. And this particular one in response to the assertion that men and women can resist God's grace. That He wants to save them, but they resist. In essence, they block God. He's wanting to. He's reaching out, but they are rejecting. No, and are therefore lost because they refused. In some sense, we can say that's true, but the ones who block unto death are not those that the Father unconditionally elected, and not those that the Son died for, but those who God is choosing to not save. And what the other side will say is that man is depraved and he is unable to come to Christ, and because of original sin, people need the grace of God. And what they will argue is He gives that grace. Sometimes they call it prevenient grace or preceding grace. He gives that to everybody who hears, to all people, even, that they have some ability to respond to God's offer. And the logic is, God would never ask you to respond to something that you have no ability to do. That's not right. So they say, therefore, God must give some ability to all people. Prevenient grace. And listen, this goes right along with their view of the atonement. This grace that God gives, and this calling that they would say, that grants some freedom, but it actually saves none. It only gives the possibility to be saved. The ones that are conscientious and meditate on the gospel that they've heard and take advantage of the grace that God's given them, they come to faith. In a way, it sounds right. If you hadn't read the scriptures and somebody just described it to you, it sounds right. But it's not in accordance with the scriptures. It cannot be proved by the scriptures. What we do see in the Bible about the subject is, this is somewhat technical, but it's not that hard. There's two calls in the Bible. Often we see two calls in Scripture. There's a resistible general call, sometimes referred to as common grace, but common grace can encompass more than that too. But and then there's an effectual, an irresistible call, which what we would call irresistible grace. So let's talk about common grace for a second, or resistible grace. So everyone, according to Romans, and we know this in our conscience too, when you look at what God's made, you know there's a God. Even if you're a truth suppressor, and men and women are, in fact, truth suppressors. They know, but they suppress it. They're able to see the divine nature and power. Whoever made all this is awesome. This is why non-believers go around the world to view natural wonders. It's awesome. They want to experience it. They want to see it. And that's common grace. God is revealing something about Himself to everyone. Even in Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, His sun shines and His rain falls on all, the righteous and the wicked. And you can multiply examples. Non-believers have husbands and wives, and they don't love each other perfectly, as the scriptures command. But there is some love there. And they have children, and they enjoy their children, and they enjoy their homes, and God showers blessing upon blessing on all humanity. Right?
Yes.
Not just rain and sunshine. Everything. Oxygen so they can breathe it. Common grace. And there is a general gospel call that's gone out to hundreds of millions of people, perhaps even billions of people since the time of Christ. And that general call is, repent, believe the gospel, and you will be saved. It's gone out, give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. It is anyone who can hear, please listen. Is a general call. Mark 1:15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This doesn't apply to one particular group. In general, God overlooked former times of ignorance, but now He's commanding all men, repent, having furnished the proof by raising His Son from the dead. Repent. It's a general call. And we can say this without hesitation. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He does not. I mean, there is a sense of justice in God when they get what they earned. God's justice is magnified. But the scripture says it. Ezekiel 33:11, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked will turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? In the revealed will of God and the general call of God, He wants people to repent. Don't die. I've given you a way of escape. Turn back. Times of refreshing will come from the Lord. That is a general call that goes out to all people. And listen, hundreds of millions of people have heard that call directly from missionaries or someone else telling them the gospel. It's a general call. And you understand this concept of calling, don't you? Your parents, you might say to one of your children, go call Isaac and tell him to come to dinner. And you might have to call more than once. Right? And there's some calls that you think are more serious than others, right? If your boss calls you in for a meeting, you will go to the meeting unless you don't want your job anymore. It is an important call. We use this terminology. General calls, common grace. God wants all people to repent and believe the gospel. But listen, what we know from the scriptures, because the scripture tells us about people who are damned to hell, that not all are given grace unto salvation. This call, we could say, is not effectual. They were called, but they didn't come. All people aren't drawn to God irresistibly with an effectual call. Even the word church in the Bible, called out ones. Christians are called the called. But aren't they all called? Yes, they are all called. But the ones who don't come aren't the called. Does this make sense? There is a general call that goes out to all. But only the elect, only those that Jesus has paid the price for, come. Why is that? Why do they come? I mean, this calling and drawing is part of God's plan for salvation. That's how He's determined to do it. And really, it does flow naturally from what we've discussed already. God has elected a group of people. He plans to save them through faith in the gospel, salvation in Jesus. But, however, they're totally depraved and unwilling to come. Well, we've got a problem here. God loves them and has elected them and desires to save them, but they're totally depraved and unwilling to come. Well, what's going to happen now? Well, according to the scriptures, God does something. He does something. I mean, they're totally depraved. They're unwilling to come. And even more, they're lost in sin. They're dead in sin. The Bible says they're unable to come even in their current states. And yet, Jesus says, all that are given to Him will come to Him. Well, how is this going to happen? If you remember in John, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. So He told them He's the bread of life. Some don't believe. And Jesus is handling this. What He says is, verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes, I will never cast out. Well, why aren't you coming? Because the Father hasn't given you to me. All that the Father gives to me will come. There's no doubt. Well, how can Jesus be sure that they will come? How can He say that? How can He be totally sure that they'll come? And this is the answer. It's because the call to them is not an offer to be saved. He is giving them salvation. I mean, we can say, is there a free offer of the gospel of grace? There is. But when we're talking about how can Jesus be sure that all that the Father gives Him will come and be saved for sure? I mean, if there's anything left up to the person, one, we can conceive of one at least that would be lost. Jesus wanted to save him, but that one, he couldn't control it completely, and so one was lost. if we look in this book, Dr. Daniel, he wrote, it's not merely offered, for it is offered to all. It is sovereignly and irresistibly given to the elect and to them alone. It is not given to the non-elect. In one of the parables, Jesus said, many are invited, but few chosen. And so we're thinking about irresistible grace, just as the Father has chosen his people unconditionally, and just as Jesus has atoned for a definite people's sin, the Spirit is sent to draw them irresistibly, to actually save them. And the Scripture says that they're called out by God's power and by the Holy Spirit. And we've all thought about this before, but the Scriptures say those who are in a pre-saved state are dead in their trespasses and sins. And, you know, you all have a figure in your mind right now. But dead people, the picture is that there's nothing they're bringing to the table. There's nothing that they're doing. Even when you were dead in trespasses and sins, God made you alive. You didn't cooperate. After the fact, you cooperate. Praise God, I'm alive! But before that, you don't cooperate. You're dead. The called are made alive. Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result, listen, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now listen, I don't know if you thought about this, especially you younger ones, but if God chooses everyone, and it's just up to them whether they accept it or not, isn't there a ground for boasting? Like, you fool, why were you lost? You should have come to Jesus, you would have been saved. I came to Jesus, I was saved. You were unwise. I'm glad I was wise. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. No, you didn't do anything. It just said a few verses earlier. You're dead. You didn't do anything because you were dead. Dead people don't do anything. And we're talking in a spiritual sense. God makes us alive. The elect. The ones who are particularly atoned for. The ones that are drawn to Jesus irresistibly. Again, in this discussion that Jesus was having when he said, you know that bread that came down in the wilderness? I'm that bread sent from heaven. And many, the text says, drew back and followed him no more. This is a hard teaching. They grumbled. How could he possibly be the bread of life? Grumble, you know, it's an onomatopoeia. Right? The meaning is what it sounds like. Rawr, rawr. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no man can come to me unless the Spirit draws him. Do you see that he just limited it right there? The reason you're grumbling is because the Spirit's not drawing you. If the Spirit draws, you'll come, you'll hear my voice. Because my sheep, I'm the shepherd, they know my voice. And then it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. we think about us being the workmanship of God, a lot of you have had Mr. Lou Fair, do work for you. And you've seen his workmanship. And even if he didn't do it for you, you saw it for someone else. And God blesses him, by the way, to be able to do good work. But if you think about you, your life, you are God's workmanship. You see that the tile and the nails and the grout and the screws that Lou is using, they're not in a way, I guess you could say they're cooperating.
Please cooperate.
You do have to do that sometimes. But you understand, they're passive. Those are just things. And it becomes the workmanship when it's done. You are God's workmanship. The Bible says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This is how James can say, there's no good works. Are you sure there's faith? Because we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. There's no good works. We have to wonder if we're actually created in Christ Jesus. Do you remember how the Spirit called those who heard the message at Cornelius' house? The Bible says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. They got an effectual call. They were drawn irresistibly. Misinformation about the Calvinistic position that the believers don't want to go and Jesus puts a heavy scepter on them and forces them in like you'd see some ancient monarch. Get in there! That's wrong! Listen, most all of us husbands would say we've married up. Do you know what I mean by that? And what we mean by that is really we shouldn't have as good of a wife as we have. Somehow God was merciful and we were able to put some sort of charm on there to get them. All right? Well, listen. I'm not trying to be irreverent, but I want you to just think clearly. Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. Do you think that if he wants to woo her, that she could resist? Would she even want to? When he lays it on thick, they're infatuated. Oh, Jesus. Do you understand? He draws you irresistibly, yes, because he loves you and wants to save you. And if he doesn't do it, you won't come. And he wants you. He loves you. You're his bride. And he would never just say, okay, well, if you don't want to, I won't bring you. He loves you way too much for that. He died for you. He's going to complete his mission. And Jesus said, this is the will of God. Of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. But raise it up on the last day. Oh, what a Savior Jesus is. And you remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 30, the Bible says, those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This other view about calling cannot work with this passage. Because they wouldn't say God's predestined everyone. They would figure out a way to say what that means. It means he looked into the future and saw those that might believe. Maybe they would explain it that way. But here the text says that an uninterrupted, a certain chain of events happens with your being predestined. Those that are predestined are called, not with a general call, with an effectual call, with an irresistible, gracious call. Come to me. I've been doing this. I've had, as Hal would say, God's had a good thought toward you for eternity. That's hard to even think about. Why? What is man that God is mindful of him? And especially me. Why is he even concerned about me at all? I'm grass. I'm here today. I'm gone tomorrow. Like a vapor, the Bible says. Quickly disappearing. And yet, God's had a plan from all eternity to save his people. Those he predestined, he calls. And we know it's an effectual calling because the Bible says those that he calls, he also justifies. You see how this happens? They're elected. They are called to come in. They are justified, declared righteous. And those whom he justifies, he also glorifies. Those who are predestined, those who are called, are the same exact ones and no other that are justified and glorified. It's not the general call that many hear and ignore. No, not that. This is an effectual call that leads to justification and glorification. All people, we know, are not justified. And all people are not glorified. How could we say all are called with the same exact calling? It's contrary to common sense. It's contrary to our experience. Because we see two people hear the same message, but one responds and the other doesn't. And it's contrary to the Bible's certain teaching about it. The predestined people of God are justified, and the called, this is the church, the called out ones. The called out ones. Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, because our gospel, listen, came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Do you see the what's there even though it's not said? What's said is, what's not there, is that sometimes the word comes, but it's not with power and full conviction. The people, whatever. You remember when Paul preached in Acts 17? Some were like, some said, we'll hear you again on this matter. And some followed them from that moment on. Well, why? Why do some hear with partial conviction or no conviction at all? Because of irresistible grace and effectual calling. Listen to this, Acts 16:14. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Do you see what's there? Others heard and weren't paying attention. Why weren't they paying attention? They heard, but they weren't paying attention. God calls his people. He opens their hearts. He causes them to be born again. Listen, this is a main difference between us and some other evangelicals. We believe that a person is called and regenerated, and then they respond. They are not regenerated because they responded. Amen. It's very important in our understanding of that. God initiates. He does everything. And we say, thank you. You are worthy to be praised. It is completely right for us to respond in faith and repentance because we see God in this new way. We are new creatures, the Bible says. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. He's been born again, even. And that happens by being regenerated, being drawn irresistibly, being called effectually. It can't happen otherwise. Remember what Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. All that the Father gives me will come to me." How can he be so sure? Because he's going to draw them irresistibly. He wants to save. He's mighty to save. And he does save. To the praise of his glorious grace. Y'all want to discuss something about this? Just don't disagree with me. No, I'm just kidding. You can disagree. Any aspect of this that y'all want to talk about or you're not exactly clear on? And I'm not exactly clear on this. But the Scripture gives us enough to say there's two callings. There's the general call that may or may not mean that you're going to believe in Jesus. There's another call that happens to the called out ones. The Lord opens their heart. And you remember also in Acts, I think it's Acts 13, it says, when the Gentiles heard it, they were glad, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Sounds a lot like predestination. They were appointed. It was granted to them. There were more Gentiles than that, right? At which ones are saved? As many as that were appointed. The others, no, there weren't any more. Just those. Nothing else? Okay, as you think about irresistible grace, don't think about it that God is doing what I told you. Get in there. Like a bad shepherd might beat their sheep. Not that. He loves his sheep. He's tender. He woos them so that they want to come. They desire to come. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Would you pray for us? Would you close us? If y'all haven't met Gary, y'all should meet him. He's an insurance adjuster. And he's often in the area because of storms, hail damage. You can understand why he's here right now. He told me that Brother Joe Maldonado gave him a charge that he greet the church with the blessing from the church in San Antonio. That God bless us is the greeting. God be with you. I hope we'll see him sometime. But would you close us in prayer, please?